Come down.
Oh my.
No. Oh, thank God. Oh my God. Yes, we won the Super Bowl. That's it. We won the Super Bowl. Oh my God. Yeah, oh my God. Yes! Oh my God!
We start today's episode with absolutely tragic news stemming from the NBA world. As everybody probably already knows, because this podcast drops on a Monday, that NBA icon Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and seven other passengers tragically died in a helicopter crash on Sunday morning in Los Angeles, California. These are absolutely the worst things you have to talk about or do when doing podcasts, I guess. I know it's not football related, but Kobe Bryant, as you heard in the opening sequence there, was more than that. He was a father, a husband. He was a lifelong Philadelphia Eagles fan, and the excitement of them winning the Super Bowl that day, you heard on the intro. But just tragic all around. And joining me today, as always, is Jay. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I don't know what to say to start that, man.
I'm just at a loss for words.
Yeah. This it like you said it perfectly, man. This it goes beyond sports with him.
It does.
He was just such a big figure. Like even if, I'm not a big basketball guy. Never really have been.
No.
But he was one of those few athletes that like, oh, Kobe's on?
Yeah.
Let's watch it. You know? There's not many guys that are like that.
His name said it all. You could just say Kobe.
Yeah,
and
you had
people
the perfect,
knew
you had
who
the perfect
that was.
Facebook thing for that. When you said that if you were in your driveway and you put up a shot, Kobe.
If you're sitting there throwing a piece of paper into the trash, Kobe.
Yeah, that's just what it always was.
There are just very few athletes that change a game or just are just so transcendent and mean so much to the game that they will they're just legends forever. And it's just incredibly sad. I've had I've just been bummed out the entire day. And I wasn't even a quote unquote Kobe fan, you know what I mean? I was an Iverson fan growing up. I was a LeBron fan watching him play. Of course, I enjoyed what Kobe did, but when you weren't a fan, you loved to hate him. because he was just so competitive. And if he didn't want to admit it, he was so good. You know, of course, Oscar, like you said, you weren't a big basketball fan. I enjoy basketball, particularly NBA, a good bit. And I caught the tail end of Jordan's career. I was young.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't get to – in the mid-90s, you know, I was 10 years old. So I didn't appreciate his greatness as much. So Kobe was the MJ of our – lifetime, and then that eventually moved on to LeBron and but just watching him play, you know, win those the three-peat, watching him destroy the Sixers in that NBA championship back in 2001, I believe. It's just tragic. It's upsetting.
Yeah.
You know, it's and the fact that seven other people lost their lives, some of them young kids. that were traveling with them to one of his basketball facilities for one of his daughter's games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just so sad. A big loss for the sports world, a big loss for the world in general. You know?
Yeah. Dude, yeah. There's not much you can. It's shitty. Like, so
it makes
many levels, man.
Things. Makes you put things into perspective and see how minuscule some things are. You know, you get upset about. I get upset about the Eagles losing games, and I act like a asshole sometimes when that happens. And
true. True.
And. You know, you get upset when their season's over and you don't get to talk about things. This puts all of that in perspective. I just, you know, he's a legend and he will live on.
Yeah.
And, I know.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, man.
I was going to say, it was good to see some of the tributes around, like, as soon as the news broke out of the NBA in some of the games. 24, a couple teams took 24-second violations.
Yeah,
a couple teams took
eight second.
Yeah. And even in the Pro Bowl, there was guys doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
the moment of silence, the Kobe chants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that broke right before the Pro Bowl started.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm sure a lot of Kobe was a
icon
to a lot of those guys. While the Eagles were the year they won the Super Bowl, they were out in LA for a couple weeks because I think they played a game in Seattle. Then the next week they played in LA and they stayed out there for a few weeks. And Doug had Kobe come in and speak to the Eagles that year. And I, you know, he just talked about what it takes to be a champion and stuff like that, you know, the Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
And it, you know, those guys were awestruck that Kobe was there. You know, I saw a lot of the players on Instagram today posting pictures from that meeting and stuff like that they had with him. So it's just like, you know, just a terrible tragedy all around. Prayers to his wife and his three other daughters, his parents, his family, everybody who is hurting from this, you know. He's impacted a lot of lives. There was a whole facility of kids waiting for him to come in while this happened, while this
accident
happened.
A traveler's game that they do, and It runs through, I guess, his foundation or something.
Yeah, at his own facility. And, it's just a shame. You see this too often with the small planes and the helicopters, and you never know exactly what happened, but he's been known for years to travel this way and to get around with helicopter. It's just...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're dangerous, it seems like. This and the small planes and stuff like that. Roy Halladay a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Roberto Clemente a long time ago. And other musicians and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
It's a rough one, man. It really is.
Yeah.
Just how big he was, and then the fact that 2 13-year-olds too were on.
Yeah, and there could be more. We don't know yet.
I think they said 9 total.
9 total. One was a pilot. The two parents confirmed, and the two daughters confirmed. So I mean, there's still a few other victims that names will be trickling out at some point. Just prayers to all of those families. Obviously, I know they won't be hearing any of this, but just sad. Sad day in sports all around. We'll try our best to move on with the rest of this podcast and talk a little bit of football. But yeah, any other words you'd like to say, Jay?
No, dude, you said everything. That was great. Yeah, there's just, it sucks, man. RIP to him, his daughter, all of it.
It's just shocking, man. It's, you know, yeah, you don't see, an icon like that. You always thought like Kobe was going to be around,
yeah,
you know, for like a long time. You always saw him at these games still with his daughter a lot of the time. There's a lot of those images out there right now on social media and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, they're exploding all over the place.
He was all over the news these last 2 days because LeBron just passed him for third all time
last night
scoring.
Yeah.
I think he
Saturday night.
Yeah, and Kobe put out a big Instagram post congratulating LeBron and this mm-hmm. and that, and life is it's fragile, you know. It's like that saying, we're here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It can be taken from you very quickly. So, hug the people you love and cherish every moment. So, all right. You ready to move on a little bit, Jay?
Yeah, we can try.
We can try. That's, I know. It's hard. Not much news. Obviously, going around the NFL lately. The Pro Bowl was today. I caught a little bit of it. It was a joke.
Hey, Fletcher Cox had like a 60-yard touchdown. You should be happy about that.
Yeah, on a lateral that note, like they didn't even try to tackle him.
That was so bad.
I did not catch a lot of it, obviously, with the news of this going on. I was kind of glued to the news channels. Hoping none of it was true. But I didn't really catch any of it. I feel like the NFL's got to do something about the Pro Bowl, though.
It is. Dude, as soon as you make a catch and a guy comes up and touches you, plays out.
Oh, I know. It's do something fun. Like, do like a 7-on-7 flag football tournament.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like people can still be type event or something like that. I remember the days with Sean Taylor when he almost decapitated a punter.
Yeah.
In the Pro Bowl. Yeah,
they used to play pretty hard. But...
Yeah. It's an awful show. The skills competition was garbage too.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that, you know. All right. So yeah, the Pro Bowl's a joke. We'll go. There's a little bit of news on the Eagles coaching searches. They did hire a secondary coach. And that is former Falcons defensive coordinator Marquand Manuel.
Okay.
He was the secondary coach for the Falcons when the Legion of Boom was there, when they won a Super Bowl. He was with the Falcons when they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots a few years ago. So on paper, it seems like a good hire.
Okay.
Seems like a guy, you know, good experience, respect around the league. So good hire on their front. They still need a defensive line coach, but there's rumors that they're just going to promote from within. And they also need a wide receivers coach and an offensive coordinator. Really no news updates on the offensive coordinator position. There was a few rumors of just some interviews and this and that, but really nothing concrete going on in that department. I'm hoping to hear something in the next week or so. I mean, because mm-hmm. the combine and stuff's coming up here shortly.
Yeah. You got the draft in 3 months, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jay, any news on the Steelers or anything?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing going on.
Yeah, no.
It's a dead period of the year.
Completely.
All right. So then we'll move on to our weekly stay or go segment of the podcast, where we're going to talk about the defensive line position this week. And we'll go through one by one, and we'll talk about whether we think they should stay, whether they should go, or what we think the Eagles or the Steelers will do at that position. Jay, do you want to start? You want me to knock mine out real quick?
You go ahead, man.
All right, we'll start with the Eagles defensive line then. We're going to start with the defensive end position. There's Jannard Avery, the guy they traded for from Cleveland at the, you know, the, right around the trade deadline this year. He came in. He wasn't much of an impact, but he's a unique athlete that they seem to like because they gave up a future fourth-round pick for him.
Okay.
I think they can use him in special blitz packages and stuff like that with some real speed off the edge. So he's definitely going to stay because they have a because they gave up a pick for him. Then we have Derek Barnett. He's going into his a critical fourth season for him. You know, the Eagles have to make a decision on whether or not to pick up his fifth-year option coming up here soon. I believe they will because they really don't have anything else at young talent at the defensive line position. They spent a first-round pick on him. Personally, I think he's been a bust so far. You spend a top 15 pick on somebody, you expect more than 5.5-6 sacks out of that person.
That's all he's had career-wise?
Each season. I think he had like 5.5 sacks this year. I mean, you pick somebody that high, you want like 10 sacks. You know what I mean? You want double-digit sacks. So obviously he's going to stay, and I do believe he will be one of the starting defense. He'll be a starter next season.
Okay.
The next guy on the list is Vinnie Curry. He is a free agent after this year. But he was our second leading sack getter this season.
Yeah,
I believe he played really well. He started off slow, but he came on towards the end of the year. I think they're going to look at him personally as like kind of like a fluid position. I think they're going to see how free agency goes, possibly even the draft, mm-hmm. before they make a decision on whether or not to bring him back. I could see him returning, though. He brought, you know, like I said, he had like 6 or 7 sacks, and he was like our second leading sack getter, I believe, this year.
Okay.
I'm not – it's a toss-up with him, basically. I could see him back, but I could also see them, you know.
Yeah, I get that. Back.
He's not.
And you hyped him up coming into this season, too.
Yeah, yeah.
As somebody that need to take that step forward for you guys and could potentially have a big year, and he did. So.
Yeah, for – third or fourth fourth defensive end rotating in, you know, I think he played well.
Yeah.
All right. Next guy on that list is Brandon Graham. He's locked in. He's going to be here. He's a starter at left defensive end. I know he signed a new contract before this past season, so he's definitely going to be back this time around.
Yeah.
Starting. Then we had D'Angelo Hall. He was I'd say our fifth defensive end this year. He rotated in. He literally tore his ACL on the last play of the year this year.
Wow.
Yeah, or in the regular season, at least. Yeah. Like the last play of the regular season. So he'll probably be on IR next year. As soon as he's healthy, they'll probably let him go.
Okay.
He'll either be on the team because he'll be on IR all year, or as soon as he's healthy, I believe he'll be gone. And that's okay. You know, he's shown flashes, but for a fifth defensive end, you know, whatever. the next guy is Sharif Miller. He was a fourth-round pick from Penn State this past season. He didn't see the field at all this year. So I have no idea with this guy. Normally they don't give up on guys that fast. He's got a lot to prove in camp coming up this year. I think he could be a practice squad candidate
okay.
if he doesn't make the team. It might be hard for him to make the team if they draft somebody early again, or if they pick somebody up in free agency. I would keep him as a practice squad guy because okay. if you can't get on the field at all your rookie year, that's big concerns for me. And I think they probably feel the same way. Another guy was Joe Osman. He was kind of a smaller guy. Real fastball off the edge. He tore his ACL at the beginning of the year and missed the entire season. He was actually, they said he was going to win like the third or fourth defensive end spot this year, past season before he tore his knee up. So depending on how he returns from that surgery and rehab and this and that, I say determines whether or not he's on the team. I'm going to say he's gone though. Because I think they're going to bring a few new guys in. But I did like him, watching him in preseason and stuff like that before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And our last defensive end on the list is Josh Sweat. He is an athletic freak, kind of reminds me of Clowney, and he showed a lot of promise this year in his second season, kind of made a big jump forward, and he's their third defensive end at this moment. He will definitely be back. I think he's going to improve again. Eventually, he might end up being a starter for this team. I think he's that talented, and they just needs to put it all together. So Josh Sweat will definitely be back. All right. We'll move on to the defensive end position. Fletcher Cox, don't have to say anything. He'll be back. And then we have a group of guys. We have a Bruce Hector. What's this guy's first name? It just says A. Huggins here. Albert Huggins. I'm pretty sure they were practice squad guys. They could be back on the practice squad, I guess, but I doubt it. So they're a toss-up. Yeah. It doesn't really matter if they stay or go. Malik Jackson, he hurt his foot in the beginning of the season. He's the way his contract is set up, he will stay and hopefully be a big part of this defense next to Fletcher Cox starting at defensive tackle this coming year. The guy who stepped up for him when he went down was Timmy Jernigan. He is a free agent after this season. I think he will probably have earned himself not a big contract, but a reasonable contract on the market somewhere else, and I think he will be gone. And I think he'll, go anyway just because of that reason.
Okay.
So, all right, then we have Hassan Ridgeway. He was playing pretty well until he got hurt towards the end of the year. He's a guy they traded a 7th-round pick for from the Colts during the draft last year. I think he'll be back. He played well before the injury, and I think he'll have a chance to compete and win a position in training camp if he's healthy. And then we have Anthony Rush. This was another guy who was a undrafted free agent pickup, I believe. Huge man, 6'5", 350 pounds. But he showed some promise as well, having to play later on in the year with all the injuries. And I think he's another guy. I would keep him. I would keep him and Ridgeway. It just depends on what they do at the defensive tackle position, if they draft anybody. But I would keep them both. And I believe the Eagles will keep them both as well.
Okay.
So next year, I got Jannard Avery, Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham, and Josh Sweat as locks to make this team for defensive end position. Got Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, Hassan Ridgeway, Anthony Rush to make the team as well, defensive tackle. And I could see either some bargain free agents or, late round draft picks to fill in the rest of the D-line.
Okay.
And that's all I got on them.
That's not bad. I mean, look, you have Fletcher Cox.
And then Malik Jackson. Him getting hurt at the beginning of the year really kind of screwed the interior defense up. They had to then start moving defense like Brandon Graham inside, which they did on nickel packages, and Vinnie Curry and stuff like that. I think having him a healthy Jackson next to Fletcher will be a big improvement for this defense.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
That's all I got on that, man.
Okay. So I guess we'll move on to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Defensive line is a pretty boring position for them this year.
They got a big decision one play on the defensive line, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And we could jump right into him real quick. And that's Javon Hargrave.
This is your nose tackle, right?
Yes. He is a very, very good nose tackle for the Steelers. He comes off the field a lot, especially when they go into nickel.
Yeah.
They tend to replace him and keep Cam, and Stephon Tuitt this year was Tyson Alulu. He's going to demand so much money in free agency. It's going to be really hard for the Steelers to try to keep him. I think it's really going to depend on how much money they have to invest in Bud and where else they can make some cuts to free up some money.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of ideas on the defensive line where they can move some money. This is a toss up here, whether or not they're going to be able to re-sign this guy.
Yeah. Obviously you want him to stay though.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. He's the best pick out of that 2016 draft.
Yeah, so you say stay.
Yes, I think
the Steelers are going to do what?
I think they move the money around, figure out what they need to do, and they are able to re-sign him and Bud.
What about Watt coming up?
They'll extend Watt, too. They're going to invest so much money in this defense because you have to remember, coming up, you don't have a franchise quarterback.
True.
In the next year, too.
His numbers will be off the books. Also,
a lot of that money's gone.
I saw a report the other day that said the salary cap might be jumping up like $13 million and be close to like $200 million.
Yeah, I heard
for the year.
It might be $208 million.
Wow.
In 2 years.
That'd be huge. Obviously, it depends on the new CBA getting worked out.
Yeah.
Coming up here. Because after this season, if there's no CBA, there could be a strike.
Yes.
So 2020 year is the last year of their collective bargaining agreement. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we'll see.
Yeah. So a couple other players to talk about. Cam Hayward has a year left. He's older, but he said he wants to stay here. I think they will eventually extend him in next year. They'll work on an extension, but he's here. He's not going nowhere, staying. Stephon Tuitt got hurt this year, missed most of the year, but he has 3 years left. He's not going nowhere.
Yeah, they just paid him, right?
Yeah, yeah. Then you got Isaiah Bugs. He was a rookie this year, sixth-round pick. They are very excited about this guy, but he didn't get much playing time this year. I think he's going to step up into the backup role behind Tuitt and Cam. They're going to try to groom him to be that replacement for Cam eventually, but he's here. Then you have Tyson Alualu. He has 1 year left. He's due $3.6 million next year with a dead cap of $800,000. I think you have to get rid of him. He played well for coming in for Stephon Tuitt this year, but you have to make cap.
So you would save like $3 million.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to make cap room because you have a couple guys that are coming that have big deals that you need to get done. So I think Tyson Alualu is gone. Same thing with Daniel McCullers.
All right. So you think Alualu, you want him cut. You think the Steelers will cut him too?
I think they, yeah. Yeah.
Especially okay, so with go the for both of you guys. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel McCullers, this one is a little harder to judge. He's up there in age. I think he's around 30. Tyson Lulu's 32. That's the other reason I think he's gone also. Daniel McCullers somehow keeps making this team, even though he does nothing for the Steelers, besides adds a little depth, but he gets no playing time. He adds nothing on the field. He's due $1.6 million this year. I think he's gone too. I think they're going to – I think they're happy with Isaiah Bugs. They also have LT Walton, who got hurt this year, was put on IR. He's a defensive tackle. I think he could come in and fill in that spot for McCullers. So I think McCullers is gone. And then Hargrave, like we talked about. I think they get a deal done with him, and he stays. So the other guy I'm blanking on his name. I just had it up. Sorry.
You're fine.
I said LT Walton, right? And damn it, sorry.
Get it together, Jay. This is
I'm
bad.
Trying.
It's bad radio.
It's really awful, and I apologize.
Is he just some scrub that's not going to make the team?
No. I think this guy makes it, if I can remember his goddamn name. Hooks. Javon Hooks.
Okay.
He was I think he was an undrafted guy. Or no, he was drafted by the Green Bay Packers in 2015. Bounced around for a while, but this is his first year on the Steelers. He was a practice squad guy. They really liked him in preseason. I think he can make this team as a defensive end next year. I think they like him. So as far as the numbers go, so you have Cam and Stephon to it, defensive ends. Bugs,
they're your starters.
Yeah, defensive end as a backup. And then I think Hooks can play either spot.
Okay. So or obviously the draft.
Yeah, I could see them. Yeah. I mean, they could take a late guy, but – no first-round pick.
And Hayward's getting older.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could be looking for a replacement for him down the line.
Yes, yes. And then as defensive tackles go, you have – I think they get the deal done with Hargrave. I think that's going to be – it's the number two priority for them. So I think they get the deal done with him, and then you also have LT Walton that can back him up. They usually keep four defensive ends, two defensive tackles. So I think that's how the numbers break down. So we'll see. I still think there's a chance they could go out and get a free agent, but money's tight.
Yeah.
I think more than likely
create cap room.
Yeah, more than likely it's something in the draft. So we'll see.
All right. Is that all you got on the Steelers?
Yeah, that's it, man. D-line's nothing this year. Yeah, outside of Hargrave, there's really no big moves that can be made.
Yeah, same with the Eagles. I feel like their core is kind of set there.
Yeah.
So, all right, before we wrap up the show, we'll do a quick Super Bowl preview and give our thoughts on that.
Oh, man, Jay. That's next week. Jesus.
Yeah, next Sunday, huh? The last game of the season before the XFL starts.
Yep. Season that counts.
So obviously, we talked about the 49ers in KC in the game. Jay, what do you think about the game? Who you got?
My heart wants to go with Kansas City.
I mean, mine too.
For the same reason you wanted Andy Reid. Outside deserves of that, it. I could care if this. I could care less if this game finished 0-0. It's Andy Reid all the way.
Okay.
And the other fact, I don't want San Fran to tie the Steelers.
There you go. Yeah. Yep.
So six.
You mean tie New England?
Steelers.
No, Steelers. Tie New England.
No, there's not an asterisk next to our Super Bowl.
Ain't nothing near theirs either.
I want to say Kansas City because I want Andy Reid to do it. But San Fran, man, they've just been doing it week after week. And everyone wanted to say, including you, wanted to say they're not a good team. But they've done it. So
they've proved me otherwise.
Yeah, and the way KC's been playing in the playoffs, they can't get behind like they have.
Yeah, here's the deal. KC's defense sucks.
Yes, yes.
They've been bad for most of the year. There was a stretch where they played good football. Their best defensive player, Chris Jones, has been injured.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's had a few weeks off now, but supposedly he's not going to be close to 100%, so he's still going to be playing injured.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of the worst teams in the league. I think they were like 25th in against the run.
Yeah.
San Fran was the second best rushing team in the NFL this year, next to Baltimore. I think San Fran's going to be able to control this game, kind of like they did in the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be able to limit Mahomes' time on the field. And they're going to be able to put up points on KC's defense, depending on if KC falls behind again, like you were saying, it's going to be a long day for them.
Yeah.
My heart's with Andy, too. I'm 100% rooting for Kansas City and Andy Reid to win their first Super Bowl in 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking San Fran to win this game, though. Like, if I was betting on it, I would pick San Fran to win this game.
Yeah, I absolutely have to agree with you. My only thing is,
look, Pat Mahomes is a G.
No, do you? Well, but outside of that, do you trust Jimmy G? I know he's been playing great.
I don't trust Jimmy G.
I understand it, but last week, what was it? 8 passes.
Yeah, I don't trust Jimmy G, but I don't think he's not gonna have to be that guy.
Okay.
Again, so
I understand. Yeah. But,
also freaking out, so we got to wrap this up here in a couple minutes.
Yeah, like
give me a score prediction real quick.
Man, I think it's going to be close because I think everything you said is right on. San Fran's going to control it, keep Mahomes off the field. I will say 2017 San Francisco.
I'm going way higher score. I'm going 38-35.
Okay.
I'm going to go San Francisco, but I'm hoping it's KC.
Me too.
All right. Then we'll wrap this one up then. Everybody enjoy the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And I also think the show should drop, next Tuesday, you think?
More than
because
likely,
of the Super Bowl. So we'll record
Monday night.
Yeah. And then possibly. We'll drop Tuesday just so we can have a good review of the Super Bowl and everything. We're not rushing it, so.
Absolutely. All right. Everybody knows where to find us. Jay, you don't have to go over it.
Yeah, we're good.
If you don't know where to find us, listen to the end of the last episode. Oh, episode 52. Thank you, everybody, for listening in.
Yeah, huge.
I would have loved to give, more towards that, but obviously with the news of
Yeah, it really Kobe sucked a lot of passing, energy.
Yes, yeah. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Mm-hmm. I got to go take care of my son.
Yep.
That was Jay, anything else to say?
No, that's it. Just thank you for everything, and we'll see you next week.
All right, that was the Birds and the Berg Football Podcast, episode 50. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll catch you next week.